I'm David Eichenbaum, host of Eichenbaum Acorns, and I'm very happy to come back with another episode talking to two of the most interesting and topical people in retina today. We have Jay Duker, my fellowship mentor and CEO of EyePoint, and we have Ramiro Ribeiro, my good friend from multiple companies now and CMO of EyePoint. I'm just a community retina doc here in Tampa Bay, Florida, director of research at Retina Vitreous Associates of Florida. I do some teaching at the Morsani College of Medicine in the Department of Ophthalmology. Jay, you want to do a quick intro?
Sure. David, you've already given me a nice intro, and thanks very much for inviting us. So yes, I'm currently the CEO of EyePoint. I've been CEO for about 3 years. Before that, I was chief operating officer for a couple of years. And before that, I had a career as an academic ophthalmologist, retina specialist, on-current oncologist, as the chair of Tufts for 21 years. That's when, of course, you and I first met, David, when you taught me a lot about life, when I was hopefully teaching you a lot about retina. That was just a few years ago, David, wasn't it?
Just a handful. And yes, yeah. I think you taught me a lot about life, and a little about retina too. But that's part of the process is this this exchange of things that are not necessarily what we talk about on the podium. Ramiro, you want to say hi?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, David, for inviting me to be here. I'm the chief medical officer at EyePoint. So I'm a retina specialist trained. I did all my clinical training. And then also I did my PhD. But then early on in my career, I decided to switch to industry and clinical research special. So I've been doing this for quite some time across a few different companies. And it's a great pleasure to be here with you.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate both of you being here. And part of the reason I want to do this episode is this is a different path. The traditional path and what a lot of our listeners who are oftentimes younger retina specialists are listening to this show, is a lot of clinical medicine, a lot of clinical work, a lot of time and training, getting into practice. One of the things that I like to talk about are people's careers that have gone in a different direction than just clinical practice. And you guys have both arrived in leadership in pharma, but from very different backgrounds. Like Jay, you were what I would consider a master clinician. Since we're oftentimes speaking to a young audience here, let's start with you, Ramiro. When in your career did you make that shift? Because you're younger than me. I'm 49 at the time of this recording, and I know you're younger than me, and I met you years ago in industry. So talk to me about that. What did that look like, and what was the thing that lit you up about industry?
Yeah, so I finished my retina fellowship, and this was in Brazil when I was working in private practice. And I had the opportunity to come to the U.S. for a postdoc position at USC with Michael Mayer. So I decided to do that mainly from just a personal life experience, right? Of living abroad, but also spending full time working with research. And that really opened my eye for the vast amount of work that can be done from a basic science perspective, basic science research, but also clinical research. So after doing that for about 2 years, and at that time I was also doing some clinical work back for in Brazil. Personally for me, I felt that intellectually was quite interesting to be doing research, and especially clinical research. So I did this one step at a time, right? Because as clinicians, trained clinicians, in the end of the day, we can always go back to clinical practice. Said, you know, let me give it a try. Let's switch to industry. I'll give it a try for a few years. And if I enjoy, I'll keep doing that. If not, I'll go back to clinical research. I'm very thankful for Mark. He really helped me in the early stage of my career. So I transitioned. My first industry was a very small startup, 6 employees trying to do a cumulative IOL for cataracts. That was a very challenging, but very interesting project. So that was my first transition, and I did that, and I just fell in love. You interact with folks that have very different background than us, with at a time with engineer, with optical engineer, but also then you spend time with clinical operations, biostatistician, with marketing, with commercial.
Jay, you were, and I would say for a lot of people, you still are the mentor. And what was the thing that made you, after decades of rising to the role that you did with a very successful academic career, decide to pivot? And at this point, I know you still see patients minimally at Tufts Newman Eye Center because I still share one or two with you from here in Florida. But what made you make the move?
So, David, I'd say it was a series of fortunate events. It wasn't just one thing. You are aware, maybe some of the listeners are aware, that my colleagues and I at Tufts started a company, a gene therapy company for dry AMD. While we were at Tufts, we worked on it nights and weekends. It was called Hemera Biosciences. And after over 10 years, it exited to J&J and just completed phase two trials. That really gave me, I think, the bug to actually do drug development. It was really exciting to think about the pathway from an idea and a concept in the laboratory to actually getting into humans. And this opportunity to EyePoint, which was formerly, as some of you may know, called Cyvita, came back in 2016. I joined the board and worked through the board to be part-time doing strategy, and then full-time decided to make the move about 5 years ago. So it was really, again, personal. I wanted a new challenge. I had done academics for almost 30 years. I loved it. I liked the people I worked with, loved the patients, but it was a personal decision to try something new that challenged me.
I think with clinical research in industry, what I like the most is how dynamic it is, right? So it's not, each day is different than the other. And it goes from when you're designing the clinical studies, when you're executing the clinical studies, when you're assessing the study results, and then the submission to the FDA. So each of those steps, they're quite dynamic, they're quite different. Intellectually, it's very rewarding. I think when I look at industry and clinical research, the challenge is always we have to make decisions with a lot of unknowns. We have to look at our phase two data, our phase one study, which gives us always a sense of how the drug is behaving. But we have to think about the broader patient population, larger studies. And you have to plan for that with a lot of the unknowns, right? So you have to be comfortable with that. Because when I think about clinical practice, I think things are as of that day, and then you make a decision. But again, it's challenging, but in a way, it's also rewarding, right? Because it brings a lot of creativity into our workplace.
So very technical, that kind of benefits and pain points for you in the role. And so Jay, what I was going to ask you in a similar fashion, which I think would be fascinating for our audience to hear, is what do you see as the greatest joys and the greatest challenges of your role as an executive at EyePoint? And how does that compare to the greatest joys and the greatest challenges of your 20 plus years in clinical medicine?
So I'm going to answer it in two ways, short term and kind of more long term. The short term enjoyment is working with really smart people, putting them in a role to be successful, and watching them flourish and be happy and be fulfilled by the role that they have. When we're in retina practice, we get a lot of short term positive feedback, hopefully. You go in the OR, you fix a retina, you really feel good about it. In industry, there's not a so you may be too young to remember a TV show called The A Team, and George was the head of the A Team. And whenever something good happened in the end of the episode, he'd smoke a cigar and say, "I love when a plan comes together." That's the long term, where you can think back and say, "Boy, we had so many challenges. And every other month, we thought the drug was dead or the study was over, et cetera." But the team really got their intelligence and they're hardworking, and we work through the issues. And here we are, for example, 5.5 years after the first patient was dosed with our drug, we're about to report top-line data from two phase three trials to get us where we are.
What do you find as the biggest pain point or what gives you
So
heartache?
I'm going to echo what Romero just said. You need to make huge, important decisions based on limited information. And I think all of us as surgeons interacts with human cells. It just may not.
This is so, talk to me about the future as we close out this wonderful and really fun conversation with both of you. Just have a couple of minutes left, and I don't want to know about the future of EyePoint or DuraVue or whatever's coming next. I want to know about your personal futures. Ramiro, what happens in the next 5 years? And you can make it any 5 years you want. We'll be optimistic because I'm an optimistic person. We'll say that DuraVue hits the primary endpoint and comes to market. What happens to you? What do you envision as the next thing?
I think one of the things that we're very fortunate at EyePoint is that we were able to build a very strong clinical and medical affairs team. So it's a team that has an expertise in conducting clinical studies for ophthalmology, have the therapeutic expertise, knows how to do this, have a good relationship with the retina community. So I think the review for us is, of course, very important program, but hopefully it's going to be the first one, right? Because now that we have this machine in a way set up for outstanding clinical studies execution, I think we should plan for the future with that in mind, right? So bringing new assets, new indications in the retina space. So that's my goal for the future, right? It's to get the review approved. And then after that, expand our indications using the same team that we have at EyePoint. It's a very different beast. I think the clinical medical affairs, it's a great part.
Different, yeah. But it's been fun to see you grow. I feel like we've all grown, and you've probably had more growing pains than me as a clinician, mostly. But it's been fun to see you grow, and I'm excited to see what the next 5 years have for you. And of course, this is the upside case for DuraVue. But even if DuraVue doesn't make it to market, it sounds like your plan wouldn't change a whole lot.
Yeah, I think as you said, right, the Apellis experience was very rewarding, right? Bringing the first therapy for GA patients, it was an exception. And now it is continuing to do that work with the retina community and serving patients.
And how about you, Jay? I've only known you for over 20 years now,
Amazing.
which is amazing.
And that commercial aspect of things is not something I really have a background in, but of course, I'm always willing to learn new things and new challenges. But I really enjoy the drug development part of it. And so I anticipate that EyePoint will have, at that point, a very robust pipeline centered around drug delivery, but maybe not exclusively drug delivery, and certainly not exclusively our current Durasert technology. We're looking into all different types of drug delivery.
And what about you, Jay? What do you, what, that's all well and good, and it's very, very exciting. But what happens to Jay Duker? This is like capping off 30 years of an incredible retina career. Are there 30 more years, we'll
I'm
say?
not done yet,
I
David.
like it. It's
I'm not
good.
done yet. I'm not ready to ride off in the sunset. If I was going to ride off in the sunset, I'd have probably stayed at Tufts and just kind of waited till the end as chair. I'm still learning and I'm still getting challenged. And so I'm not ready to put my stake down in Florida yet.
Well, thank you both for coming on to Eichenbaum Acorns. It's a pleasure. This show's about talking with friends and enjoying the people that we hang out with in retina. And you guys are certainly two of the folks that I like to hang out with in retina. And I hope I'm on your list for that too. At least most of the time. I mean, someone's got to bail me out, you know? So thank
Well,
you, Corinne.
David,
Thank
I
you for
wish
being
you
on the
many,
show.
many years of successful Acorn podcasts. And with your group of friends, it's going to take many, many years for you to get through all of them.
That's what we hope.